They are one of the largest recipients of NIH funding. Their scientists played a substantial role in developing more than half the cancer drugs approved by the FDA in the last 5 years. Dana-Farber Cancer Institute has been making one advanced cancer discovery after another for over 75 years. At Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, what we do here changes lives everywhere. Find out more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Let's try this again.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. The Bush administration started to bail out the banks. Remember the $700 billion Troubled Asset Relief Program, or TARP. Today, Treasury Secretary Timothy Geithner reveals TARP Part 2, his plan to spend the second half of that bailout money. Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson tells us about Geithner's plan to manage the financial fallout.
The Treasury Secretary is expected to announce more financial aid for troubled banks. It's also likely there will be a major expansion of the $200 billion program to unfreeze credit markets. The centerpiece of the proposal appears to be a so-called bad bank that would quarantine the worst of the mortgage-related assets. The bad bank may provide guarantees against losses to attract investment from hedge funds and private equity. So what will the banks have to give up? Well, according to the New York Times, not that much. Even though President Obama called bank bonuses shameful, there are unlikely to be major limits on compensation or mass firings of the people at the top of the nation's banks. The Times says Treasury Secretary Geithner is concerned that if the government micromanages the banks, the plan will cost more and harm Washington's credibility. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
Meanwhile, four top British bankers are being hauled before a parliamentary committee this morning for a public roasting. The banks are the two biggest casualties of the UK's financial crisis, Royal Bank of Scotland and HBOS. Stephen Beard has more on the hearing from London.
One of the bankers was white-faced and spoke with a quivering voice. The other three squirmed in their seats. The men were questioned about their role in the financial crisis. The banks they ran lost billions and are now propped up by the state. The committee will report on the lessons to be learned, but, says economist Andrew Hilton, the real purpose is ritual humiliation.
There is something to be said for the theatrical aspect of all of this. It isn't a bad thing to personalise the crisis and to get the guys who were at the top of these institutions. It's equivalent to putting them in the stocks and throwing eggs at them.
At least the four men were treated more gently than their forebears. During a major financial crisis in the 18th century, Parliament resolved that bankers should be tied up in sacks full of snakes and thrown into the Thames. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
World stock markets are in wait-and-see mode. They're waiting for a U.S. stimulus bill, waiting for details on the U.S. bank rescue. Asian markets fluctuated all day, ended up mixed. Major European markets are down about 1%. A sweeping new U.S. law goes into effect today to protect children from lead and plastic softening chemicals called phthalates. Congress passed it after last year's recalls of Chinese-made toys. The new rules set tight standards on products from dolls and pacifiers to jewelry and child furniture. Mitchell Hartman reports.
Okay, I just went out and bought this rubber ducky. Plastic, actually. Made in China. It's soft, squeaky. And as of today, it can't have more than 0.1% phthalates, or 600 parts per million of lead. That would be against the law and could lead to big fines. But under pressure from business groups, the Consumer Product Safety Commission delayed the costly requirement that products be tested and certified for one more year. Scott Wolfson of the Consumer Product Safety Commission says in time, it will become easier to find out what's in your kid's rubber ducky or talking Elmo.
Labeling to help parents will be coming, but parents starting today should have increased confidence that a new law is in place to protect their children.
Wolfson points out that many big manufacturers and store chains were already meeting the new standards months ago. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thomson Reuters, a source of intelligent information to businesses and professionals around the world. Thomson Reuters, knowledge to act. And by CSX, working to reduce traffic and pollution by carrying a load of 280 trucks by rail. CSX, how tomorrow moves.
Are you worried these days about losing your job or your savings, your lifestyle? Well, you could fight harder to keep it all. But reporter Ashley Milne-Tite saw a different idea while riding the New York subway, a recruitment ad for Franciscan Friars.
It's not often on the subway that your eyes come to rest on a bunch of men in habits. But I'm on the N train crossing the Manhattan Bridge, and I'm looking at a group of smiling friars. The tagline to the ad reads, day shift, night shift, how about a life shift? I asked Father Brian Smale about the ads. He's vocation director for Holy Name Province, the group of Franciscans that mounted the campaign.
We've always had to advertise for vocations. You know, we've never had like a multitude of people knocking at the door. But let's face it, today it's more difficult to attract vocations because people have so many choices now.
In 1979, Holy Name Province had 830 members. Today it has fewer than 400. Father Brian says it was time for a new tactic.
I think these days to reach people, you have to be creative and you have to go where people are. Think of the numbers of people that travel the subway every day.
Including the Franciscans' target audience, unmarried men in their 20s and 30s. Father Brian says he's had a lot of calls from prospects, including a teacher, a TV producer, and an accountant. He says the campaign, which includes some YouTube videos, was planned long before the economy soured. But Mara Einstein, author of the book Brands of Faith, says the timing couldn't be better.
Given sort of the self-reflection that's going on in our culture right now, and people are reassessing their values and what they think about in terms of how they want to spend their life, this is actually a wonderful opportunity for this.
She says the enormity of that life shift is tough to convey in a print ad. Friars take vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience. Everyone lives together. And Father Brian says they carry on the work St. Francis started in 1223 of ministering to the dispossessed.
So embracing someone that doesn't measure up, quote unquote, in terms of what society believes, whether it's somebody that's poor, somebody with AIDS.
It's very different from his previous life as a systems analyst at Bank of America. He says so far he hasn't come across any former bankers interested in such a radical change in their lives. But if there are any out there, he'd be glad to hear from them. In New York, I'm Ashley Milne-Tite for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke. Thank you for joining us.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.